Chris Atterbury, the radio play-by-play voice for the Minnesota Twins, joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, good morning. I have not had a chance to chat with you since the start of Zebby Matthews this week. And from what I'm reading and what I saw, by all accounts, he was real impressive. What was your close-up view of how he handled himself and how he pitched?
Yeah, Zebby Mania. Let's get on with it. And it was his comportment. I think you hit how he handled it. I think that was the key. And I think that's something that we're starting to see now be endemic to the Twins player development system, that when the guys are called upon, and we've had to call upon a lot of them, they're ready mentally as well as physically. He's a really big, strong dude, and you look at him, and he's just a big block of a man. And he's got this short, quick arm stroke, and I don't think you could tell if he would have been up 10 runs, down 10 runs. He was just steady as the day is long, and he's going to have every opportunity to pitch here down the stretch, and I was impressed, and the stuff is really, really good. I mean, he just throws a ton of strikes, and if you come in and you start your first major league game and you don't walk a batter, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Chris, out of curiosity, what was your stance as far as the trade deadline? A lot of people were disappointed that we didn't do more. Were you one of those people, or do you think that we've got what it takes to get some sort of distance into the postseason?
Well, I definitely wanted to add. You always want to add pieces that can help, but I also had looked under the hood enough to know that there weren't really a lot of great options. I think the best starting pitchers were in the division. I loved Eric Fetty, but there was no way the White Sox were going to let Eric Fetty go to a team in the division. I always tell people this story. It was several years ago, and the Twins were trying to add an arm, and Nick Anderson, who's a native Minnesotan, was with Miami, and they were going nowhere. And the Twins called and said, we'd love to get Nick Anderson back. And they said, sure, give us Byron Buxton. And they said, no, well, give us Royce Lewis. No. And then a day later, they traded Nick Anderson for, like, Ryan Stanek and a bag of baseballs to Tampa Bay. Like, they had no problem just giving him to Tampa Bay, but with us, that wasn't going to happen. So things are weird at the trade deadline. And, you know, case in point, we're facing Tyler Mowry today for the Rangers, you know, and Twins fans might have a little, you know, trade deadline PTSD with Tyler Mowry's name, because we gave up a ton to the Reds to get him, and he was going to help, or maybe that was an offseason deal. He made so many deals with the Reds, and it just didn't work out, right? He was hurt, and he didn't get to pitch, and we watched Spencer Steer and Encarnacion Strand take off, and, you know, think about the trade deadline deal for Jorge Lopez, and they get Yennier Cano, who becomes an all-star, and Cade Povich started for the Orioles yesterday, and so it can cut both ways. We've made big swings, and we've missed. And sometimes the best swing is taking a pitch. And I think that in this case, that's probably – I guess I'd rather ride with Zebby and some of the guys coming out of our system than overpay for something that I didn't think was going to move the needle. And once Carota went to Houston for the haul that they got, I mean, Houston paid through the nose for him. For a guy who I don't really think moves the needle, I think the prices went through the roof. And I think, again, I'd rather ride with Zebby.
Could you imagine if the Twins traded Royce Lewis for Nick Anderson? Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Nick Anderson.
That's the type of stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Every ask started with Brooks Lee, right, this year, and Walker Jenkins.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that.
Chris Atterbury joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, the last time we talked to you, we talked about Pablo Lopez and some of his struggles. He's starting today for the Twins. In his last 7, 3-2, 39 strikeouts. In his last 15, he's got 91 strikeouts. Have you noticed a change in him? And you talked last time so much about his work ethic. You said nobody works harder to get out of those things and get out of those slumps than Pablo. Do you feel like he's trending the right direction now as the Twins get towards the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a different guy than the last time we spoke, and the results show it. He's made a minor tweak mechanically, and it's not the type of thing you would notice unless you were really looking for it or somebody tipped you off to it. But his glove hand was low, and as his arm stroke came through, and now it's a little higher. And if you go back and look at last year, it was a little higher last year. And just something as minute as that, his command has been a lot better. The action on his pitches has been a lot better. And he also has been very unlucky this year. He's the second. They take your expected results and then your actual results. He's ranked the second unluckiest pitcher of the year in the first half, and that's starting to level out too, which you would think it would by the end of the year. But he's been a horse, man, and he's taken that little tweak and sharpened up his stuff, and he hasn't allowed innings to snowball. And that was always the case in the first half. When he'd have a rough start, he'd be really good. He'd rip off 8-9 guys in a row, and then you know a two-out walk would lead to like a 2-3-run inning. And he just couldn't stop the bleeding, and now he's stopping that bleeding, getting a bandage on it, getting back in the dugout, and getting back on the rails. And they need him to, right? That 2 days out of every five, they need Link. They need Link from Pablo. They need Link from Bailey Ober. Both of those guys know it, but I think both of those guys are up to the task.
Chris, I love our bats, but we've had the ups and downs pitching. Although we've done very well against teams with losing records, just had a really hard time with teams with winning records. So from the postseason perspective, how excited or you know, what should people really expect of the Twins in the postseason?
Well, we got to get there first. So let's do that. let's make sure we get into the postseason. That's one. I think our lineup is much better suited for the postseason than it's ever been. It's just deeper, right? Like we can beat you more ways. And obviously in the postseason, you want Byron and Carlos in that lineup. So take the lineup that we're going to see today and throw Byron and Carlos in it. It gets really deep. It can hit velocity. It can hit off speed. It can hit lefties. It can hit righties. It can hit for power. You can lead the world in doubles. Like, so it's a deep lineup that will grind you down and can beat you in a lot of ways. And we have answers off the bench too. So I really like where the lineup is and its ability to score runs in different ways. The pitching is a big question, and it's everybody's big question. And it's funny because you always hear the same thing, right? You need a big ace, a big stopper for the postseason. You got to have that ace. You got to have that stopper. And everybody wants an ace. Everybody would love to throw Paul Skenes or Tarik Skubal or one of these guys in a postseason start. And obviously Pablo's shown what that can look like. But just having that guy doesn't ensure success. You know, I did a lot of postseason games with Johan Santana where he was starting and the Twins didn't win a series, right? And he was the best starting pitcher in the game. Last year we win in Houston. We've got him right where we wanted. We've seized back home field advantage. We've got Sonny Gray, the Cy Young runner-up on the mound, and he gave up a four spot in the first inning before the crowd had settled into their seats and our season was over. So it's not a guarantee. What you do see in the postseason is creative usage and depth of pitching. Guys who were starters coming out of the bullpen, matching up differently, working backwards. So in that sense, I think we have a lot of tools that really play well in a short series. Duran, Jax, Alcala being the three primary guys now that can cover three innings in a different portions of a game and you feel pretty good about. I do have concerns because we haven't had that one guy come out of the pen who can just get a big lefty, no doubt get a lefty every time. I love Caleb and he's pitching much, much better right now, but he didn't have a spring training. He's had an inconsistent year. So that's one area where I think the Twins might be lacking a bit. But when you look at the depth of our pitching right now and what that pen could even look like in a postseason series, what if I told you that you were going to get four out of a starter, but then you had Louis Varland for two innings and then Alcala, Jax, Duran. Would you take that? Well, you might, right? Like we saw what Louis can look like in that role. So I do think we're deeper than we've ever been. We've raised our floor. When we have to get deep and go to the minor leagues to pull up a guy to fill in a spot, those guys that we get right now are better than they've ever been in the last decade. And so we've raised our floor. And then if we can get some of the top end guys back like Byron and Carlos, I really like the depth. I think that's our superpower. Our superpower as a team this year is our depth and the ability to grind you out and beat you in a lot of ways. And that's kind of what playoff baseball looks like.
That is the voice of Chris Atterbury, radio play-by-play man of the Minnesota Twins, who take on the Texas Rangers this afternoon, 1:35 first pitch. Chris, as you look at the schedules from both the Twins and Cleveland, gosh, they both have very similar in terms of opponents, it looks like to me. You know, I think September looks harder for both teams, and they'll play each other one more time. But when you look at these schedules, who truly has the tougher path to the postseason in your mind?
Well, I'll be honest. I think I don't really look at their schedule or ours for that matter, because I can barely figure out where I am today. But The one thing I do know is that everybody's pretty good, right? Like, you're like, you can't say, look at the White Sox just shut out the Yankees. So it's like, you can't say,
yeah,
oh, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. The only team left on our schedule, there's two of them that are really truly out of it, are probably, what, Miami and the Angels. Yeah. And even the Angels have a guy who throws like 104 in their bullpen, you know? So I don't think there's any easy path anywhere. It comes down to, I would say, our path is harder because we have to catch them. And they have the tiebreakers. So they're two games up on us, but really they're three. We get the games there, which are big. But September's going to be a grind for both teams. And I think it's going to be a similar grind in that there's no off days really for either club. And the pitching, you know, it's all about the bullpen management for both of these teams. And if you're playing every day, you're not getting a lot of breaks. You're not getting a lot of blowouts, because that's what we're seeing. Neither the Twins or the Guardians are playing a lot of those blowout games where your big bullpen dudes can rest. We saw Clause throw four games in a row last week, and it's still August. So I think it's going to be a grind. The Royals have the healthiest rotation, but the Royals have the worst offense. So they're still very much in play. Boston's still very much in play. You know, it's going to be a grind for both teams. I feel like we are a playoff team, and so I feel like we are ready to accept and lean into that grind. But every series is a test. We go to San Diego next. They might be playing as well as anybody in the league right now, even though I don't think the three of us combined could name two of their relievers. They got the best bullpen in the league right now. So it's a matter of, we better win in Cleveland in late September and just make sure we're in a position where those games matter. If those games matter, and that road trip is Cleveland-Boston, who's fighting right for a wild card too, if those games matter, the penultimate week in September, then we're in shape to do something, control our own fate, then that's all you can really ask for.
Chris, I got one last real quick question, and I know we're really long, but I have to ask you this one. Being a Stanford guy, John Lynch with the 49ers right now, Hall of Famer, Stanford. He's got Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk. He's got to get those guys signed, and then he's going to have Brock Purdy. How's he going to get that done?
Well, if anybody can do it, it's probably John. So he was a senior my freshman year. And he had played baseball at Stanford, too. You know, people forget. He actually started the first game in the history of the Marlins franchise. He was the starting pitcher of their, like, rookie league game. And his hat's in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of that. But John Lynch, my freshman year, they went on the road to Notre Dame, and he broke Lake Dawson's ribs on a crossing route. And then he jarred one loose from Bettis, and we won, and it was a big deal. So I saw him when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis. I went to the party out at Paisley Park, and I saw John there. I was with another buddy from Stanford, and we walked up to him, and we're like, Mr. Lynch? And he's like, hi. And I'm like, when you broke Lake Dawson's ribs, it was the best moment of our freshman year. And we just had a great time the rest of the night. It was awesome. Going down memory lane. So I would like to think he can figure it out if anybody can. Let's be honest, the 49ers have some history there, don't they, of kind of being creative with their payroll, going back to the 80s. A little bit, maybe paying the piper later on. But I think I would put a lot of faith in John to figure things out. He's a great guy and a really sharp guy, too.
Chris Atterbury, thanks so much, man. I have to tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed this season listening to you behind the microphone. You've done an excellent job, and I always appreciate you giving us some time on a Sunday morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, I appreciate it. Pretty easy for me. I sit next to Paul Molitor for 9 innings today. How hard is that, right?
That's like
some people would win in an auction, and I get to actually do it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, buddy, that's great. Chris, thanks so much. Enjoy the game today. Again, Twins at 1:35 today, first pitch. So we're taking it to 12:30 today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Chris Atterbury, the radio play-by-play voice for the Minnesota Twins, joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, good morning. I have not had a chance to chat with you since the start of Zebby Matthews this week. And from what I'm reading and what I saw, by all accounts, he was real impressive. What was your close-up view of how he handled himself and how he pitched?
Yeah, Zebby Mania. Let's get on with it. And it was his comportment. I think you hit how he handled it. I think that was the key. And I think that's something that we're starting to see now be endemic to the Twins player development system, that when the guys are called upon, and we've had to call upon a lot of them, they're ready mentally as well as physically. He's a really big, strong dude, and you look at him, and he's just a big block of a man. And he's got this short, quick arm stroke, and I don't think you could tell if he would have been up 10 runs, down 10 runs. He was just steady as the day is long, and he's going to have every opportunity to pitch here down the stretch, and I was impressed, and the stuff is really, really good. I mean, he just throws a ton of strikes, and if you come in and you start your first major league game and you don't walk a batter, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Chris, out of curiosity, what was your stance as far as the trade deadline? A lot of people were disappointed that we didn't do more. Were you one of those people, or do you think that we've got what it takes to get some sort of distance into the postseason?
Well, I definitely wanted to add. You always want to add pieces that can help, but I also had looked under the hood enough to know that there weren't really a lot of great options. I think the best starting pitchers were in the division. I loved Eric Fetty, but there was no way the White Sox were going to let Eric Fetty go to a team in the division. I always tell people this story. It was several years ago, and the Twins were trying to add an arm, and Nick Anderson, who's a native Minnesotan, was with Miami, and they were going nowhere. And the Twins called and said, we'd love to get Nick Anderson back. And they said, sure, give us Byron Buxton. And they said, no, well, give us Royce Lewis. No. And then a day later, they traded Nick Anderson for, like, Ryan Stanek and a bag of baseballs to Tampa Bay. Like, they had no problem just giving him to Tampa Bay, but with us, that wasn't going to happen. So things are weird at the trade deadline. And, you know, case in point, we're facing Tyler Mowry today for the Rangers, you know, and Twins fans might have a little, you know, trade deadline PTSD with Tyler Mowry's name, because we gave up a ton to the Reds to get him, and he was going to help, or maybe that was an offseason deal. He made so many deals with the Reds, and it just didn't work out, right? He was hurt, and he didn't get to pitch, and we watched Spencer Steer and Encarnacion Strand take off, and, you know, think about the trade deadline deal for Jorge Lopez, and they get Yennier Cano, who becomes an all-star, and Cade Povich started for the Orioles yesterday, and so it can cut both ways. We've made big swings, and we've missed. And sometimes the best swing is taking a pitch. And I think that in this case, that's probably I guess I'd rather ride with Zebby and some of the guys coming out of our system than overpay for something that I didn't think was going to move the needle. And once Carota went to Houston for the haul that they got, I mean, Houston paid through the nose for him. For a guy who I don't really think moves the needle, I think the prices went through the roof. And I think, again, I'd rather ride it with Zebby.
Could you imagine if the Twins traded Royce Lewis for Nick Anderson? Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Nick Anderson.
That's the type of stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Every ask started with Brooks Lee, right, this year. And Walker Jenkins.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that.
Chris Atterbury joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, last time we talked to you, we talked about Pablo Lopez and some of his struggles. He's starting today for the Twins. In his last 7, 3-2, 39 strikeouts. In his last 15, he's got 91 strikeouts. Have you noticed a change in him? And you talked last time so much about his work ethic. You said nobody works harder to get out of those things and get out of those slumps than Pablo. Do you feel like he's trending the right direction now as the Twins get towards the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a different guy than the last time we spoke, and the results show it. He's made a minor tweak mechanically, and it's not the type of thing you would notice unless you were really looking for it or somebody tipped you off to it. But his glove hand was low, and as his arm stroke came through, and now it's a little higher. And if you go back and look at last year, it was a little higher last year, and just something as minute as that, his command has been a lot better. The action on his pitches has been a lot better, and he also has been very unlucky this year. He's the second. They take your expected results and then your actual results. He's ranked the second unluckiest pitcher of the year in the first half, and that's starting to level out too, which you would think it would by the end of the year. But he's been a horse, man, and he's taken that little tweak and sharpened up his stuff, and he hasn't allowed innings to snowball. And that was always the case in the first half. When he'd have a rough start, he'd be really good. He'd rip off 8-9 guys in a row, and then you know a two-out walk would lead to like a 2-3-run inning. And he just couldn't stop the bleeding, and now he's stopping that bleeding, getting a bandage on it, getting back in the dugout, and getting back on the rails. And they need him to, right? That 2 days out of every five, they need length. They need length from Pablo, they need length from Bailey Ober. Both of those guys know it, but I think both of those guys are up to the task.
Chris, I love our bats, but we've had the ups and downs pitching. Although we've done very well against teams with losing records, just had a really hard time with teams with winning records. So from the postseason perspective, how excited or you know, what should people really expect of the Twins in the postseason?
Well, we got to get there first. So let's do that. let's make sure we get into the postseason. That's one. I think our lineup is much better suited for the postseason than it's ever been. It's just deeper, right? Like we can beat you more ways. And obviously in the postseason, you want Byron and Carlos in that lineup. So take the lineup that we're going to see today and throw Byron and Carlos in it. It gets really deep. It can hit velocity. It can hit off speed. It can hit lefties. It can hit righties. It can hit for power. You can lead the world in doubles. Like, so it's a deep lineup that will grind you down and can beat you in a lot of ways. And we have answers off the bench too. So I really like where the lineup is and its ability to score runs in different ways. The pitching is a big question, and it's everybody's big question. And it's funny because you always hear the same thing, right? You need a big ace, a big stopper for the postseason. You got to have that ace. You got to have that stopper. And everybody wants an ace. Everybody would love to throw Paul Skenes or Tarik Skubal or one of these guys in a postseason start. And obviously Pablo's shown what that can look like. But just having that guy doesn't ensure success. You know, I did a lot of postseason games with Johan Santana where he was starting and the Twins didn't win a series, right? And he was the best starting pitcher in the game. Last year we win in Houston. We've got him right where we wanted. We've seized back home field advantage. We've got Sonny Gray, the Cy Young runner up on the mound. And he gave up a four spot in the first inning before the crowd had settled into their seats and our season was over. So it's not a guarantee. What you do see in the postseason is creative usage and depth of pitching. Guys who were starters coming out of the bullpen, matching up differently, working backwards. So in that sense, I think we have a lot of tools that really play well in a short series. Duran, Jax, Alcala being the three primary guys now that can cover three innings in a different portions of a game and you feel pretty good about. I do have concerns because we haven't had that one guy come out of the pen who can just get a big lefty, no doubt get a lefty every time. I love Caleb and he's pitching much, much better right now, but he didn't have a spring training. He's had an inconsistent year. So that's one area where I think the Twins might be lacking a bit. But when you look at the depth of our pitching right now and what that pen could even look like in a postseason series, what if I told you that you were going to get four out of a starter, but then you had Louis Barlin for two innings and then Alcala, Jax, Duran. Would you take that? Oh, you might, right? Like we saw what Louis can look like in that role. So I do think we're deeper than we've ever been. We've raised our floor. When we have to get deep and go to the minor leagues to pull up a guy to fill in a spot, those guys that we get right now are better than they've ever been in the last decade. And so we've raised our floor. And then if we can get some of the top end guys back like Byron and Carlos, I really like the depth. I think that's our superpower. Our superpower as a team this year is our depth and the ability to grind you out and beat you in a lot of ways. And that's kind of what playoff baseball looks like.
That is the voice of Chris Atterbury, radio play-by-play man of the Minnesota Twins, who take on the Texas Rangers this afternoon, 1:35 first pitch. Chris, as you look at the schedules from both the Twins and Cleveland, gosh, they both have very similar in terms of opponents, it looks like to me. You know, I think September looks harder for both teams, and they'll play each other one more time. But when you look at these schedules, who truly has the tougher path to the postseason in your mind?
Well, I'll be honest. I think I don't really look at their schedule or mm-hmm. ours for that matter, because I can barely figure out where I am today. But the one thing I do know is that everybody's pretty good, right? Like, you're like, you can't say, look at the White Sox just shut out the Yankees. So it's like, you can't say,
yeah,
oh, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. The only team left on our schedule, there's two of them that are really truly out of it, are probably, what, Miami and the Angels. Yeah. And even the Angels have a guy who throws like 104 in their bullpen, you know? So I don't think there's any easy path anywhere. It comes down to, I would say, our path is harder because we have to catch them. And they have the tiebreakers. So they're two games up on us, but really they're three. We get the games there, which are big. But September's going to be a grind for both teams. And I think it's going to be a similar grind in that there's no off days really for either club. And the pitching, you know, it's all about the bullpen management for both of these teams. And if you're playing every day, you're not getting a lot of breaks. You're not getting a lot of blowouts, because that's what we're seeing. Neither the Twins or the Guardians are playing a lot of those blowout games where you're – big bullpen dudes can rest. We saw Clause throw four games in a row last week, and it's still August. So I think it's going to be a grind. The Royals have the healthiest rotation, but the Royals have the worst offense. So they're still very much in play. Boston's still very much in play. You know, it's going to be a grind for both teams. I feel like we are a playoff team, and so I feel like we are ready to accept and lean into that grind. But every series is a test. We go to San Diego next. They might be playing as well as anybody in the league right now, even though I don't think the three of us combined could name two of their relievers. They got the best bullpen in the league right now. So it's a matter of, we better win in Cleveland in late September and just make sure we're in a position where those games matter. If those games matter, and that road trip is Cleveland-Boston, who's fighting right for a wild card too, if those games matter, the penultimate week in September, then we're in shape to do something, control our own fate, then that's all you can really ask for.
Chris, I got one last real quick question, and I know we're really long, but I have to ask you this one. Being a Stanford guy, John Lynch with the 49ers right now, Hall of Famer, Stanford, he's got Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, he's got to get those guys signed, and then he's going to have Brock Purdy. How's he going to get that done?
Well, if anybody can do it, it's probably John. So he was a senior my freshman year. And he had played baseball at Stanford, too. You know, people forget. He actually started the first game in the history of the Marlins franchise. He was the starting pitcher of their, like, rookie league game. And his hat's in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of that. But John Lynch, my freshman year, they went on the road to Notre Dame, and he broke Lake Dawson's ribs on a crossing route. And then he jarred one loose from Bettis, and we won, and it was a big deal. So I saw him when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis. I went to the party out at Paisley Park, and I saw John there. I was with another buddy from Stanford, and we walked up to him, and we're like, Mr. Lynch? And he's like, hi. And I'm like, when you broke Lake Dawson's ribs, it was the best moment of our freshman year. Then we just had a great time the rest of the night. It was awesome. Going down memory lane. So I would like to think he can figure it out if anybody can. Let's be honest, the 49ers have some history there, don't they, of kind of being creative with their payroll, going back to the 80s. A little bit, maybe paying the piper later on. But I think I would put a lot of faith in John to figure things out. He's a great guy and a really sharp guy, too.
Mm-hmm. Chris Atterbury, thanks so much, man. I have to tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed this season listening to you behind the microphone. You've done an excellent job, and I always appreciate you giving us some time on a Sunday morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, I appreciate it. Pretty easy for me. I sit next to Paul Molitor for 9 innings today. How hard is that, right?
That's like
some people would win in an auction, and I get to actually do it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, buddy, that's great. Chris, thanks so much. Enjoy the game today. Again, Twins at 1:35 today, first pitch. So we're taking it to 12:30 today.